Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
Greetings, Koopalings, and welcome back to the Nintendo Shack. I am back in the hosting chair as Rebecca's living her best life, and she has left the shack to us lowly Delvin and Donnie. And this week we are joined by Shack Extraordinaire, Discord member, friend of the family, Kyle the Pug.
It's a bachelor's shack today.
That's it. That's
Don't
it.
Say that. Don't
We've taken it over.
No. You Delvin, get a rose, okay? Delvin. No.
Donnie, I don't know if you remember this, but about 5 years ago, when I signed my PSVG contract, It was explicitly written that every episode I have to have a beautiful person to look at.
Mm.
Oh, no. So PSVG has Dev.
Let me call Dev. I was about to say, let's get Dev on
there. Yes. XP has Haley.
Mm.
This show is what they have, Rebecca. And you say, no, we're going to give you Kyle. The fucking pug.
Kyle the fucking pug. That's it.
Yeah, Kyle, what is happening here? Maybe. You're stuck with me for a week, Delvin. Get used to it.
This is terrible. Rebecca's at MAGFest, or maybe it's MAGAFest. That's what everybody keeps saying it is. I don't even know what that is. I have no clue what it is.
Out of the loop and out of the scene I am. I'm like, okay.
Is it a festival for magnets?
Is it magazines? What are we talking about? What's going on?
I think it's a video game event.
Well, I figured as much, Kyle.
I would hope so.
Excellent commentary, Kyle.
Yeah. She looks like, I was going to say, I think she looks like though she's having a good time over there.
Well, I wouldn't know. I honestly don't know. Sure, I'll take your word for it. Kyle's probably more versed with what she's doing than we are.
Way more versed. Yeah.
We don't even know where she's at.
I just kind of see the tweets, you know, every so often.
I don't look at that. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on for this week. Even though I'm not Rebecca, I'll try the best I can to.
Well, you're right about that. You're not Rebecca. You're fair.
Well, since you're the guest, we start every week with what we're playing. So we'll start with you, Kyle. What you been up to?
Okay. So I've been kind of jumping around a couple of games because usually, you know, with me and my massive backlog, I just kind of, you know, jump around all over the place here, like a ping pong ball or something like that. I don't know. But I'm playing one game that's not a Nintendo game, and that is The Quarry, which I'm actually.
Right now, you're winning me now, Kyle. You're winning me. Good job.
Hey, well, even though you say fuck you to me all the time, I appreciate that, Delvin. I actually did complete the game, but I got the bad ending. But I did unlock second chance mode, which basically means I get 3 lives to prevent certain people from dying. Like, say if you like messed up or something, you can kind of go back to that point before they died, and you can use, you know, one of your 3 lives to prevent them from dying, which is kind of a neat concept because I don't know if Until Dawn had that or not. But
no, this is new. I think it's new for The Quarry specifically.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say okay, but. Yeah, kind of a neat little concept. So I'm decided to go back and try to get the good ending for it. And I'm probably going to complete it next Tuesday, I believe. So I'll probably, you'll have it beaten by then. And I think the other game, because I'm going to go to the other game here because I'll try to make this quick. I'm doing a second playthrough of Golden Sun, which the first time I actually completed it.
That was the first playthrough?
Yeah, I did a first playthrough of like a year and a half ago. I actually enjoyed it. Like, it's a really good RPG game. So if you guys like RPGs, definitely go check that out.
Because
it got released for Nintendo Switch Online. I would say, yeah, because I think it was last Wednesday it was released.
That is correct.
Somebody could confirm with me with that in the chat. I think it was Wednesday, but I'm not sure. So I'm doing a second playthrough.
We'll allow it.
All right. So I'm doing a second playthrough because the first time I completed it was on a GBA emulator. And I'm doing a second playthrough on Nintendo Switch Online so I can have an actual save file so I could do the sequel at some point. So that's been my week in the nutshell.
This is nice because our biggest complaint is that we don't play a Nintendo game. So we have brought a guest on who has played Golden Sun. We are allowed to keep our Nintendo cards for another week. Kyle, I wish you and Golden Sun all the best together.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Hope you enjoy yourselves. Hope you do the whole thing. We start making fan art and become the number one
artist for the next game. I am not an artist.
100%.
I am no artist.
We want Golden Sun 3, Golden Suns, Golden Moon.
Yes. Moon, sun. Just keep going. Just go go through the whole
sun and moon.
Golden Sun. Golden Sun, sun and moon. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's been my week in a nutshell, though.
Nice. Well, sounds like a fun week. What about you, Devin?
I have done nothing. I have been busy. So nothing video game related, even though I saw the poll and everybody said I should play Prince of Persia. No one else voted for any of the other games. They're like, Prince of Persia is the one you should play online. So I will be playing that this week, which is good. My son apparently was just so excited for Prince of Persia.
Where will you be playing it?
I don't know. I'll be playing it on PS5 probably. My son wants to play it so bad on his Steam Deck, he went out the way to get it on Epic Store. Like, why? But that's what he wanted to do. And he also, this is kind of Nintendo related, he's been hooking up my Steam Deck. He's been adding a lot of old school games on it. He's going to start adding Nintendo games on it.
Doing crimes.
Doing crimes. Yeah, I love it. A lot of the old Wii U games that only came to Wii U and went nowhere else, he's adding to my Steam Deck, so I'm kind of happy about that. There's one in particular that I wanted. One of my favorite cartoon shows is Transformers Prime. And they had a Wii/Wii U exclusive game.
I remember this game.
That is actually really good.
Yeah, I bought this for Jack when he was little. I remember this game.
Yes, he's adding that one to my Steam Deck. Among other things, he added the Scarface for PS2.
Ooh.
The Thing.
I didn't even know that was for PS2, to be honest.
What, the Scarface game?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing on there. Yeah. That's good to know.
You need Godfather.
So, yeah, he's going to add that too. He's going to add that. He's going to add, what else he said he was going to add? It was a few games he said he was going to add. He's adding all the old Transformers games. You know, I like Transformers. The Punisher game, that was on PS2, which was very, very violent. For those who, I think we talked about it on PSVG. For those who are curious, look up the Punisher PS2 game. He's going to add that. He's going to add probably Manhunt and a couple of other old games like that on my Steam Deck. So I'm kind of living life with that.
I've got about 50 PS2 games on my Ally. Midnight Club and Rockstar and, you know, all that jazz. It's good stuff.
I'm going to have him add all the games that I can't play.
All my sports games.
Yeah, probably NCAA. I have problem add on there.
Playing those games in a handheld is a really nice. It's a really nice because even if they don't fit the screen, like they almost fit the screen, they run native, they look good. You know, like those are really nice on this.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to kind of keep those games in my system, in my backlog, stuff I want to play. You know,
well, it's better.
It's a lot of stuff. Yeah, better than just actually going to spend money. Fuck that. Yeah. Do crimes.
Have you? If your son has Persia on the Epic Store, you could put that on your Ally.
Huh.
I'm playing Persia. I've only played Persia on my Ally the whole time. I'm just playing it 100% on the Ally at the moment.
So I might just do that then. I heard you say it looks beautiful on the Ally, so I might
do that. Yeah, it's absolutely excellent. You saw the video I sent you how to adjust your screen settings. Do that.
Yes.
I've posted pictures of Persia and people are like, is that an OLED? Like people don't realize how nice that screen is. And like for Switch 2, I'm hoping that they adopt like a very similar screen. Even if it's not OLED, I hope it's a really nice LCD like the LA house.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important for Nintendo fans, bring it back to Nintendo, to look at these two systems and be like, all right, maybe the Switch 2 can get half of this and that'll be cool. Because I don't think it needs to go.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to go all the way with what these systems are doing. Just half of it, you know, just a little bit more, a little stronger, a little better screen.
For the screen, like we definitely want the best of what both bring to offer, right?
Yes.
I don't want the Switch 2 to be as bulky as either of them.
I agree.
I want the Switch's battery life to be twice what both of them are.
Because their battery life is terrible.
Yeah. Well, the OLED battery is a little bit better, right?
Yes, I think so.
The Steam Deck OLED battery? Yeah, I think it's better. But, like, yeah, it doesn't have to, like, compete frame for frame with these other consoles. But I want it to have a good screen, and I want it to have to be performant, and I want it to have good battery life and be, you know, sleek and more carryable than these are, you know, all that jazz.
Because, frankly speaking, the Switch paved the way for these consoles to come out, so...
Yep. Sub Gamer Checks.
What's up? I would think it would be cool for the Switch to, it doesn't have to be comparable, but just kind of update in a way that appeals to everybody, because the Switch is the most accessible out of the three. So, you know, maybe make it a little bit more better, and I love it.
Garrett corrects us. The battery is not better on the Steam Deck OLED. It's just more efficient because of the screen. There you go.
There you go. Thank you, Garrett.
I don't know, Ben. Ben asks if they'll go OLED. I don't know. I could see Nintendo not going OLED out of the gate. I don't know. It depends on how good their system is and how much it costs. I think that is a cost decision. I don't think, I think a lot of Nintendo fans are like, it has to be OLED. I don't think that's the case.
I agree.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I would, but do I want it to be? Of course I want it to be. I'm not asking for it not to be. I just hope whatever screen they go with, I just hope it's good. That's more, that's more important to me than anything else. Just be good.
I do think it's a little wild that people's expectations a while back was so off base with this thing, where they were like 4K and all this other ridiculous stuff.
Oh yeah,
I was like, we just wanted to be good.
HD 4K.
I do think it will have upscaling, and I'm eager to see what NVIDIA can cook up for them in this regard. Oh, well, I don't even know how we got it. I mean, I know how we got here, but this is a crazy... I wasn't expecting to open the show this way.
We have nothing to talk about. That's how we got here.
That is true. We have a very, very slow...
Move along, people. There's nothing to talk about.
I really want it to have VRR.
That would be good.
VRR. I'm interested, Delvin. I would love to give you a homework assignment. I want you to play a game that struggles to run on your Steam Deck. Get a heavy game on your Steam Deck that runs in the 30 to 40 range, and then play that same game on the Ally, and turn, make sure VRR and FSR is on. What it does for the frame rate, like if you can get the frame rate to like 40 or higher, it feels as smooth as like a 60 game. Like it really, really helps. It's noticeable. It's noticeably smoother. It's less choppy. And I think something like that for Switch, considering that we all think it's probably going to be not as powerful, that feels like a must have. Like they've got to do something like that. That would go a long way, you know.
Okay, I'll do that with Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah, something like that. You can tell, you can really, like, I'll get a game that's pretty heavy, and I'll be playing it, and I notice it's running at like 42 frames, and I'm like, and if I didn't have this counter here, I wouldn't notice because it just feels smooth.
It's dope.
I wouldn't say I was getting a little bit bored by the conversation, but I mean, one of these days I will have like an OLED and the, yeah, right now I'm a little bit poor to kind of know what you guys are talking about, but one of these days I will have a, OLED, you know, Switch somewhere down the line.
OLED Switch 2.
When the Switch 2, when the Switch 2 comes out, you know, maybe later this year, 2025, you know.
Look, Catapult.
Yeah, like I said, I'll definitely, it'll be day one for me by then.
There's this great documentary that you can watch that may help you with your poorness. It's called Breaking Bad.
Oh, Breaking Bad. Wow.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm just selling drugs on the corner somewhere.
Yes.
We need a cook, Jesse.
Jeez. Okay. So I will pick up with what I've been playing this week, because I do have a review to provide. I am going to talk about Persia, but before I talk about Persia, I want to get into a review. I want to thank our friends at Demagogue and Untold Tales. They provided me a code for their newest game called The Cub. Cub is a post-apocalyptic platformer that is set in the same universe as Golf Club Wasteland. Shaq listeners may remember my review of that game when that game came out. It's like it's a golf game. You play golf and you like use the golfing to like beat these puzzles and traverse the environment. And the cool thing about Golf Club Wasteland and this game is that it's set to a radio station. A radio station plays called Radio Nostalgia from Mars. And it tells a story via the radio station of what life was like on Earth before they all had to leave because of a big climate disaster. And they remember songs of like the olden days and like what life used to be like. And they have like little podcast segments and funny commercials. And it's very satirical and funny. Reminds me, I mean, it's not the same at all, but like similar in style to like when you listen to talk radio and like Grand Theft Auto or something like that. You're getting these stories that like paint the world for you while you're doing something. They've made the Cub, which is a platformer. So if you're not into like the golf game, this is just a puzzle platformer, like a million other games you've played before, like Inside or Planet of Lana. And you just platform around. The Cub is, the character is a boy who's been raised by wolves. And through some sort of mutation, he can live on the wasteland that is Earth.
Okay.
And he comes across one of the visitors and he picks up his helmet and he puts his helmet on. And the radio still works. So you're traversing this environment, listening to the radio from Radio Nostalgia from Mars and all these stories of like the land that you inherit and what used to be there. And at some point, the Mars folks, the humans, come back for like resources and stuff. And they find that you exist and they try to hunt you down because they want to figure out how you can survive and all this. And then it goes and tells its own story. The platforming, I'll just say a couple things. It's a really short game. You beat this game in one sitting, 3 hours.
Oh,
it's also a cheap game. I think it's $15 retail. If you buy it now on the launch discount, it is $7.49.
So that's
half
good.
Half off right out of the gate. It's really pretty. It has very nice, like fluorescent, apocalyptic background. So like everything is very overgrown and like, you know, vegetation has taken back the earth. But like, unlike Golf Club Wasteland, in this game, there's more set pieces in the background. You're going to see like skylines, you're going to see cityscapes, you're going to see neon signs. There's a lot more there to the setting and the scenery than Golf Club Wasteland had. It has a lot to say about like modern society and climate, like in the climate crisis and stuff, and like corporations and all of that. So it's like a platformer with a message. Like it's got something to say. And yeah, it's beautiful. I really enjoyed it. I liked it. I like it more than Golf Club Wasteland. If somebody was to ask me of which of the two to play, I'd say this one. And I don't think you need to play Golf Club Wasteland to enjoy this one. If you did play Golf Club Wasteland, you'll know a little bit more about what you're getting into, but there's no history that you need to bring forward to understand what's going on. And for anybody that's never played or anything, I would tell you to check out a YouTube video, because the Radio Nostalgia from Mars is really like, I've added this to like my music library. Like I've added this on YouTube Music because some of the jams are really good. And like the talking, it's high quality. It's a high quality audio experience. And I'm surprised that it feels to me like it's kind of breaking new ground. I'm actually surprised that we don't have more things like this in the video game space. You know, like video games for years, we've had video games that either play music or even like Grand Theft Auto has like radio DJs. So does Cyberpunk kind of. But like we have a lot of video games that have like logs that you pick up, like audio logs. And I love the idea of like, okay, instead of you just like finding clips of audio, like tapes or whatever around the environment, like give it a music station, make that a part of the experience. I don't know. It just brings it to life in a way that similar games haven't. Have you guys played games that kind of do this that I'm not thinking of?
I can't think of any right now.
Not to my knowledge, no. But when I was looking at the pictures for this game, I don't know if you've seen like the Disney's Jungle Book. Obviously, because it kind of like when he's
it's very
when,
Jungle Booky, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like when he's raised by wolves, it gave me like these Jungle Book vibes.
I believe that's in their tagline. I think on Steam, I think they call it like Jungle exactly Book, Apocalyptic Jungle Book, I think is like their short, that's like their sales pitch.
Yeah. Well, you just sold me on it, so I bought it on Switch.
Nice.
It looks cool. It looks like it runs really well.
Play with headphones. It is a good puzzle platformer. Like I wouldn't say I died a bunch. I died a few times. It's more like, it's not challenging. There's just like a trial and error to it a little bit. You know, like you have to figure out like, okay, how do I proceed forward? And like, once you die a couple times, you're like, I get it. It's not hard. It's not hard or anything like that. And yeah, I'm so happy that they wanted to give me another code. And I was happy to sit down and play it this week, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
That's great.
That's awesome.
My other game that I'm playing is Prince of Persia, of course. I think I'm 12 or 15 hours in. I haven't played it as much this week as I did last week. Last week, I was like a fiend. I think I probably overdid it, because since PSVG, I haven't really played much games at all, like since Wednesday. I did the Xbox show, and then I was on the Xbox Drive, and then this show. And it's like, I feel like the more I podcast, the less I play, you know, because it's like podcasting is kind of like my gaming time. Yes. So, yeah, this weekend and Friday night, I didn't do any of that. I watched movies and I was just not in the mood. But Persia is amazing. I honestly feel repetitive because I've talked about it on so many shows already. And if you are one of our listeners that listen to follow me around to other shows, you've all heard this before, but we have a lot of people that just listen to Nintendo Shack. So I'll give it again. I'll try to surmise it in a short, brief experience. I love this game. I absolutely love Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. It is probably my favorite Metroidvania ever. I'm not a super Metroidvania fan. So like, take that with what you will. This game does a lot of modern conveniences or quality of life improvements, and it's not easy. The game is super challenging. I have died so many times. I found this puzzle that I played. What is today? Sunday, Saturday, Friday night. I played this puzzle, and this is when I turned it off and quit playing. I must have died 30 times trying to do this puzzle that I couldn't do. I just kept dying. I don't think I have all the abilities that I need to beat it, but I still thought I could. Like, I was like, but I can if I just get it right, and I just couldn't. Like, I just couldn't, and I just kept dying. And I was like, screw it. I don't want to play this right now.
How challenging would you say on a scale of 1 to 10 this game would be?
So here's the thing. It's tough, but it's not like Souls tough. It's not like you don't lose anything by dying. You just respawn right there, and you like, there's nothing, you're not losing.
So this game is very checkpoint friendly in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very approachable, super approachable. And I am dying not from the combat, but from the platforming. There are platforming segments and puzzles that are optional.
I felt that.
There are optional arenas that you don't even have to do. It's just like, I like doing it. When I was talking to Sean about it, what I said is, I think I was more emotionally invested into the music and the art and the story and Ori. And I think that's why Ori is like probably more special to me than this game, because I don't have like any feelings for this game.
Gotcha.
But this game, I think, is better. I think the level design is better. I think the platforming is better. I think there's more of it. If I was like critiquing it as a reviewer, I just think it's better. I think it's doing a lot of things better than Ori. And the bosses are super fun, and they are challenging. Dev and I were sharing messages over some of that last night. I don't even think I'm close to the end. I think maybe I'm halfway. Like, there's a lot of game. It's super big. There's all kinds of stuff to do. And it's a surprise. Ultimately, the best thing that I can say about it is I don't think I ever want to play a Metroidvania that doesn't have these systems and mechanics.
Wow.
And I think if another Metroidvania comes out and they don't offer this, like, that might be a deal breaker. I'm like, I kind of want everybody to pick up where they have pushed this forward and like start from there. Like, the bar is now here. And that's maybe the highest praise that I think I can give it. Most notably, I mean, everybody's talking about how you can store a clip. You can take a snapshot and like store it on the map, and that's cool. I'm not even really using that feature a whole lot. For me, there's a guided mode. There's two modes you can play. I don't know what the other one's called. I'm playing on the guided mode. The guided mode just basically shows you like where you're supposed to go.
Thank God.
Yeah, it puts an icon on the map, and it's like, you're supposed to be heading over here. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't give you all the map. You have to unlock the map yourself. It doesn't tell you what abilities you need to get over there. It doesn't do any of that. It doesn't tell you how to get there or any of that. So you still have to go Metroidvania your way around, right? But just having that icon of knowing where I'm supposed to go makes me feel so much less anxious that I'm going in the wrong direction. And it gives me so much peace of mind to allow me to explore other parts of the map. because it's like, I know if I want to advance the story, I can just head in that general direction and start to figure it out. But because I know that that's where I need to go, I can also just go in another direction if I'm not feeling like progressing yet. So maybe for the first time ever in a Metroidvania, including Ori, like, I am finishing the map. I am collecting things. I am trying these puzzles. You know, like, these are things that I'd be like, I don't know if I need to go here right now because I don't know if I'm going in the right direction. And you know, I was always kind of trying to stay on the path because they give me that, at least that much, like, faith, that security in where I need to go. Now I'm totally like, I'm not going there right now because I haven't completed this part yet. And I've never played a Metroidvania like that. That's amazing. And I think that's like, yeah, that's a whole new, it's a whole new perspective for me in the Metroidvania genre. And I don't want to, I don't want to play a game without it. 100%.
Yeah, I'll probably get it at some point. Cause I actually forgot to mention this, but I also played the demo for Prince of Persia. Runs really fucking well on the Switch. Like, I looked at, you know, some videos. Yeah, I looked at a couple of videos. It was like, and I was thinking to myself, is it just me or does this actually run really well? Cause I looked it up, and yeah, my speculations were kind of right on the point.
It's 60. It's 60 in portable. It's 60 in docked. When I played the demo on both systems, there were some choppiness, especially when the screen would pan. I have not found that to be the case in the actual
game. Oh, I didn't either. Yeah.
In the actual game,
barely, noticeable.
Yeah. So I love it. I absolutely love it. I can't wait to play it. It's at a perfect time.
I am right there with you.
I don't feel like I'm being bothered or tempted to play other things. So it's a perfect time for me to like focus in and just play this game. And that's the only way that I've ever been able to play Metroidvania. It's like when I play a Metroid or an Ori or Castlevania, like I have to commit and just play. I can't juggle that sort of game with other games because I have no idea where I am when I pick it back up. So it's a great timing for me to just sit there and just play this game. So I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, we'll get into our news, which is barely anything. It's been a really, like, more than most, a really slow news week out there on the Nintendo front. Usually we have, you know, NSO games or even sales or upcoming. Like, we have a whole lot of nothing, you know? Yeah. So I wrote down a few things. Nintendo announced that it'll be donating 50 million yen, which is about $340,000, to support those affected in an earthquake in the Japan Noto Peninsula.
I think the Pokemon Company also donated the same amount, too.
They did.
That's great.
Pal World is a massive hit, but is also getting widespread sus side eye due to having very similar designs or assets that Pokemon has, and potentially there's some suspicion or suspect that it's using AI to generate some of this art. And that may be why the similarities are there. Pal World, when I say it's massive, I mean, it is the viral phenomenon. It's like had, I think it's been purchased. Like 3 million people have bought it on Steam. It's on Game Pass. It's
4 million now.
4 million. And like they're in the top 10 of most concurrent Steam players all at once ever.
It's been trending all over Twitter.
And like, I think they had more people playing it than the peak GTA 5. Just put that in perspective.
And plus, it was the second most wish list game. Like, I think it was.
I can talk about it. I can play it, but it's not on. Here's the thing. I was thinking about this. It's not on Switch. So I don't necessarily think it applies a whole lot to Shackland. So I don't really want to talk about the game. I did talk about it on the Xbox Drive. I can talk about it on PSVG. Also, I imagine there's going to be a lot of Nintendo podcasts this week talking about how Nintendo needs to sue them or can they sue them. And I don't want to do that either because, one, I'm not a legal scholar and I'm not going to go off of what people on Twitter say about it. If they sue them, then we'll talk about it then. I'll say my piece on the matter. I think the record projection of this game shows how much of a desire and a thirst is there for a better Pokemon game.
Yep, that's what I was going to say.
And that is really the only like Nintendo point that I think really needs to be made. Nintendo can try to shut it down if they want to, but I would hope that Nintendo instead goes, we should do better. You know, that'd be the hope. I did play it and I did like it. It was pretty fun.
Why do people seem like they're shocked by this? They had like a whole video presentation of this game. We've been seeing this. Me and Donnie have joked about this for months. This is just Pokemon with guns and the characters look exactly like Pokemon characters.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until people started doing like side-by-side comparisons. There are some models that are very derivative.
I pointed that out a couple ripoffs.
But like some of them have like eyes or smiles or ears that are exact replicas, you know, and like that's where like I'm not going to get into IP rights and I don't know. I don't care. I really don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
So but here's the funny thing, Delvin. It's not Pokemon with guns at all.
Oh,
it's a survival game.
It's more of like Ark than anything
else. Yeah, it's like Ark. It's like Valheim. It's like Rust, right? Like it's a survival game with like a Pokemon lair on top of it. Now it is cool. You can literally get a gun or a bat and like go just shoot a Pokemon. And there's like a viralness. See, you see that laugh? There's a viralness so dumb, to that people love. Like there's going to be a TikTok movement, a YouTube movement, a streamer movement with that. Like there is something to that. I think for a lot of people, they've always wanted to like punt a Pokemon or like, you know, smack a Pokemon with a bat. And like this game totally allows you to have like that fantasy. And some of the Pokemon, dude, are massive. You need like a bazooka to take them down. And like there's like this Valheim Monster Hunter Pokemon thing, like kind of like Breath of the Wild is kind of like a survival craft light type of thing, but like you got to manage like your food and your health, and you get cold and you got to make a shelter and you got to build things. Like it's a survival game. It's not. When they showed the first trailer and they talked about it being Pokemon with guns, I literally thought we were about to get like a Pokemon RPG that just had like gun mechanic. Yeah. It's not that at all. It's far from that. It's more like Lego Fortnite with Pokemon.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds very interesting.
Like, I could see that being, you know,
it's janky as hell. It's early access, so like I'm not reviewing it, but it's super janky, and there is like the AI thing I think is maybe most interesting, because if that's proven to be true, I understand it, because my first impression is like there is like a general like mobile game look to these models in this world. Like it's just kind of generic in a way. But again, I don't think it matters, because I think people are going to have a lot of fun going around punting Pokemon, yeah. You know, like drop kicking Pokemon, shotgunning Pokemon. Like I'm surprised we haven't had one of these already. Like that alone, I think is kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised if like they pivoted on this concept and turned it into like a battle royale, and it could be massive. I can see it, because that's kind of what like a lot of people are doing, is like they're getting in there with their friends and they're doing their own server and they're like capturing their friends and throwing them off the sides and shooting each other. And like it's kind of like it's more like a sandbox. You know, there is a faction, I guess, in missions, but like I don't think anybody's there for anything like that. They're there for like the dumb chaos and kind of the picture taking and, you know, that kind of, you know, fun dumbness.
Somebody said you could smack Pokemon in Smash, which
I found
that to be very ironic, but it's also true.
Yeah,
it's a little different though, because
compared to Smash, like your, you know,
murdering Pikachu. And stuff.
One you literally can like make like a bat and walk up and like you can battle the Pokemon. You
totally slam. You're like,
me versus you right now. Let's do this.
Like Smash kind of feels like fun. Then you see them after the battle. Pikachu's okay. This game looks like, you murdered Pikachu. You're an awful person.
I think they go to sleep.
Extreme rules. Let's go.
Also, for the people that are mad about, you know, the similarities, you know, one thing that I think is interesting is a lot of people, that is like kind of the story, at least in the Nintendo world, that's the story, is they're like, I can't believe they've ripped this game off. We have to shut it down. It's like, have you ever opened up games on your phone? this is like a common thing. Like there are 1,000 clones of every popular game that's ever been made. Like that's just, there is a part of it wants to say that like, that's just video games. Like from its core, if you go back in the 80s, anything that became successful was immediately cloned.
Yes.
And the mobile space operates the exact same way now. Like there's Mario clones and Zelda clones. And like, how is Blossom Tales not a Zelda clone? You know, like it's absolutely a Zelda clone.
That's a pretty good Zelda clone.
Yeah, and it's like a good one. But like there's a bunch of things like that. And the only difference being like if they can prove that they've absolutely ripped specific assets, like maybe, but like I don't know. I wouldn't be worried about it. I would just try to make a better game.
Love you too, Jess. Thank you for listening.
Well, I was going to say Goose Goose Duck is another example, but which if you don't know what that is, it's a Among Us clone, which is basically, yeah, it's Goose Goose Duck is you just basically play with, it's the same concept, but with goose and geese and ducks and all that. And it's actually gotten more sales on that than Among Us did, which is actually kind of shocking, to be honest.
Yeah, and like, I think anytime something goes viral, like Battle Royale went viral and we got a bunch of Battle Royales. Now they weren't clones and stealing assets, but like we got a lot of the same thing. Vampire Survivors has got to have like a bunch of clones, like anything that gets,
they are like
Candy Crush has got a bajillion clones.
They are 105 Nights at Freddy's clones.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Literally everywhere. Fan made games are just all over the place with that. That's
and Hyrule says there's a difference between clones and copying the asset. You're 100% right.
That's correct.
Yeah, I said that if they want to try to prove that and do something about it, then all to them. I just don't think it's interesting podcast topics.
I agree.
The Legend of Zelda Deku Tree set looks like it should be coming out this September, according to Lego leakers. So that thing was announced like a year ago, and we've still never seen it. And I don't particularly think it's all that exciting, but that's where we are in the news this week.
It's a tree.
It's not even the good Deku Tree. It's not even like Ocarina. It's Breath of the Wild. It's not great.
Yeah.
You can play Eastward until Wednesday if you're an NSO subscriber. So if you've never played that game, you can give that a try.
I have not. Everyone tells me. I haven't
tried that.
Elaine really liked that game, if I remember correctly. I've never played it either. That's the news. So, like I said, when I put out the tweet, if you don't ask us questions, you're not going to have a long show because we just don't really have much to talk about. We do, however, have, you guys did heed the call. We got several questions. We have 11.
Yeah, so, we got a lot.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah, we'll take this as far as they allow us to go. Delvin, you want to take the questions?
I got it.
Thanks.
All right. The first one, how do y'all say this? Is this NYCK?
It's Nick.
Yeah. Nick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's an interesting way to write Nick. I like it. Nick asks, is it time to trade in the Switch for the Switch 2 pre-order? Absolutely not.
Not yet. No, it's way too soon.
Yeah, Nick's been a long-time listener, so thanks for writing in again, Nick. I don't know. I mean, in the effort to extend the podcast, I will take up the opposite position.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, that's cool.
I don't think Nintendo has so many things announced right now that you can't wait on. If you wanted to say trade your Switch in now to get as much money as you can, because it's going to go down. The closer we get to Switch, it's going to go down.
I agree.
If you were like, I'm going to trade it in now and wait 6 months and get a Switch 2 and then play Princess Peach or then play Donkey Kong versus Mario. Like, yeah, I don't think you need to play those games the day. You don't have to be day one on Thousand Year Door Remake.
I agree with that, too. I will say this, though. Nick, if you plan on going to GameStop, you got to wait till they get the deal where they're like, hey, trading your Switch and you get like $200 extra for it.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that stuff anymore. They haven't done those things in a minute.
They have similar-ish deals where they give you like bonus credits and all that stuff, and it adds up to close to it, but not quite there.
I went there a few weeks ago. It's the first time I'd gone in a while, and I was talking to him, and he was like, yeah, we really don't do the trade-in deals anymore like we used to.
Yeah, they come few and far between now.
Because I asked him, because Jack wanted to trade something, and I looked on their website, and like, you know, when you used to go to their website, you'd hit trade-in, and they would have like all of these like bonuses. Like if you trade this and you trade that, and you get 20 extra percent or 30, there was nothing. It literally was like, just type in your trade. And I was like, you guys have any promos? And he was like, yeah, we don't really do that anymore.
Yeah,
like, really?
Yeah. The last time I went, in like December, they had a really good one. I think I traded in like a bunch of old games I wasn't playing, and I got like $300-$400 for them. Because they kept just adding on credits and bonus points to it. I guess
he told me he thought it was because like they started like cash. Like they now give cash. You just get cash out instead of trade. So he was like, we don't really do the deals anymore because people just get cash.
Yeah, the thing about the cash is the cash, they give you cash, but it's way less
than
Yeah. Way less. So it's not even worth it. Like the trade value is like exponentially higher. Like, hey, this is.
There's a reason why I haven't traded anything to GameStop in years. I mean, eBay. If you're looking to start a Switch 2 piggy bank, eBay.
eBay is great.
eBay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would do. But keep your games. In case the Switch
100%
2 is, keep your games. In case the Switch 2 is backwards compatible, you want to keep those around. And if it's not, then you could just sell those then. Like, you don't have to sell them now. Yeah. But yeah, I could see somebody trying to get ahead of the game. I did that with the Wii U when the Switch launched. I traded all my Wii U stuff in, like, maybe, I think it was maybe a year before the Switch launched, like when the announcement happened, and I made a killing. I don't think you can do that anymore, but I'll never forget that day. I took like a Wii U, like five remotes. Like, you know, like Wii remotes and like, I don't know, like maybe 10 Wii U games and had like $800 in trading credit. Like, it was insane.
That's insane. I was going to say that. Well, you took the words right out of my mouth.
I bought everything. Nuts. Like everything the Switch launched with, I bought all of it. I bought every controller, every accessory, every game.
Bought out the entire store.
I was like, I would like one of each, please. Thank you. But yeah. Yeah, good question.
Well, Nick, I will leave you with this. If you decide to do so, just know you're taking a risk because they haven't announced it yet. It could come out fall this year, could come out spring next year, or it could come out summer next year. So you might need to be ready for that wait.
That's true. So that's a good point.
Either way, I think this is just like a guess for me, but I think it'll probably come out like 2025. But I think they'll get like, you know, they'll show like a teaser of it, you know, in maybe I won't say they won't show in a Nintendo Direct or anything, but they'll have like a Direct specifically towards it. So I'm thinking like they show like maybe like a teaser of it, you know, maybe like, you know, spring, somewhere around there, and then they'll give out the release date. That's just how I would probably operate that.
Yeah, I'm guessing this fall, maybe September. I'm hoping that at least, but
sure, we'll
I think it's gonna be this fall. I could see it like if somebody's like, I think it'll launch spring 25. I could like, that's not, you know, unthinkable. That totally makes some sense. But I feel like they've dragged this out long enough and their sales are dipping and we've seen a lot of piracy ratchet. Like they need to move. Like now it's starting to get to the point. I think they need to move and they need to be ready. And I think it's going to be this fall.
I agree.
For sure.
All right. Our next question from John 32. He says, in honor of Kyle, do you think we get another mainline Pokemon game this year? And if not, what would you like to see from the Pokemon Company this year? Also, if you were going to have a Pokemon over for a dinner party, which ones would you invite and why? All right, so I guess we'll start with Kyle. Kyle, do you think
we're going to
mainline Pokemon game this year?
Okay, so this has been talked about. I've seen this being talked about on Twitter for like, you know, over and over again on what's going to come out this year between, you know, the Black and White remakes, maybe like another, you know, Legends game. But if I had to pick, though, like, honestly, I feel like where we're going to go, like with because the remakes have been like a thing with Game Freak, and I'm hoping like this is going to be true, which I think it will be. But honestly, I actually would rather see the Black and White, you know, games remade on the Switch. Like, I know the Switch is like kind of on the tail end here, but I was like, because with the last Pokemon remakes, which was Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, I was a little bit sad. Like, I was hoping it would be more Pokemon play. And here's my hot take on this. I'm gonna say this right now. I think Black and White is actually a lot better than Diamond and Pearl, but that's just my opinion on it. But
that's not that.
But honestly, like in my heart,
a lot of people think that.
Yeah, as of right now. It kind of changed my perspective on it a little bit. But I would love to have a, you know, Let's Go Johto. Because I never played the Let's Go game, so Let's Go Johto would be pretty fun to play. Like a Legends Johto, like, you know, like set in like way back, you know, sure. way before the Pokemon, you know, the Pokeballs, like technology and all that lore. But I honestly would like to have like a Pokemon pinball, like come back at some point.
Like a spinoff.
Yeah. That'd like a cool. little spinoff. Yeah.
I could see something like that for sure.
Yeah. I would love to have like a Pokemon pinball spinoff with like all the modern Pokemon.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Be better than like another match three or baking game.
Yeah, but my head, says it's there's going to be like a Gen 5 remake.
I want the Pokemon Company to stop making what they're making unless they're making it for Switch 2 and make the game good again. Like,
yes, just, I agree.
Like, make sure that whatever Pokemon game comes out on Switch 2 works. It's not that hard. Just make it work. Make it.
I mean, I have a lot of hours on Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, but sometimes I even, you know, cringe at the fact that the rendering issues are just, it just makes me sick to my stomach. It literally does.
Yeah, I think you can probably get away with putting out a remake of some sort of different spinoff this year. And then we can hold off to the mainline Pokemon game.
Yeah, that would actually, I would rather have a spinoff than, you know, just have then like a mainline game just rushed.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want like a remake of the older game. Like, just give us a spinoff or something else until you can fix this engine and make it so people can love these games again. Like,
I actually had another idea with how they're gonna do with the Unova games. Like, supposedly that's supposed to be on the Switch. Instead of just like remaking them, have them set like, you know, maybe like 10 years after the events of Black and White, and you can start obviously with, you know, the Gen 5 starters, like, you know, Snivy, Tepic, and Oshawott. Just have it, and you could become different characters too. You like, you know, with the playable trainers. Yeah, have it set like maybe like 10 years into the future. I feel like that would be pretty cool, like a little bit of a step up.
I agree.
Instead of just like the original like remake.
They gotta do something though.
They need to do something. Game Freak, you need to hire me, please. Seriously, I got all these ideas, and you're not taking advantage.
I think when they announce or just when they showcase the Switch to you, I think Pokemon will be a part of it. It's too big for it not to be. Do I think it's coming out this year though? Probably not. I think Arceus makes sense. I think that would be the game that you pitch for new hardware, and I think that could be like their 2025 game. And I would hope that they would present it like, here's what new hardware allows us to do in this game, and it looks a million times better than we think it did. And I think that would be a big sell. I think that could sell a lot. Now, I love the idea of another spinoff. I don't think they'll go back to Pokken Tournament, but I would like them to. That was a cool game.
I played a little bit of the demo. It's actually pretty fun.
It is. It's pretty good. I also really love Pokemon Quest. It's like their little $15 spinoff game. I would love another one of those. Something like that would be cool. Jack loves the Unite game. You know, like the little MOBA arena.
Yeah, I actually did love Pokemon Unite for a while because I used to have fun playing with friends, and now it just kind of died for me a little bit since I moved on to like, you know,
other games. Got a remake or something like that, I feel like they're going to save it for the new console. It just feels like too big for them to just put off this year if they're not gonna, you know, like with new hardware. I don't really see that happening. So I would bet if we're getting a Pokemon game this year, I think it's probably gonna be some sort of spin-off or a little indie game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The second part of the question, let's answer that part. What Pokemon are you having over for the dinner party?
Mr. Mime. Can he cook?
Probably not.
No, I think he can.
He can cook for Jellia Ketchum in the anime. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, like he cooks and stuff. Yeah. He can like set the table. He's got extra hands. Yeah.
Mr. Mime.
He's not going to mess up the dinner. He's not going to screw up the dinner.
I feel like Snorlax would be a bad idea.
No Snorlax, please.
Eat the table and everything. Like, yeah. No bueno.
So I have two Pokemon that came to my mind, but I'm gonna put like one. This is just gonna be a random Pokemon that I thought of. Latios the Legendary, because it can understand human speech. And obviously, probably people have not, you know, gotten that far into Scarlet and Violet due to the rendering issues, but you can actually feed your Pokemon sandwiches, and that's just like any kind of Pokemon, you know, like your babies to your legendaries. I don't know. I just thought of like a random Pokemon to invite. Latios understands human speech. It's the Eon Pokemon. Same with Latias. So I was like, you know what? I'll have it over. Maybe you can have like, you know, some, you know, some chicken sandwiches or something. I don't know. But hey, that's just the Pokemon that came to my mind.
The other one that came to mind was Lickitung.
Ooh, that's a good
hilarious
one.
To see him just like grab your chicken out of your hand. Just like damn it, Lickitung.
God damn it. I spent freaking $10 on that, on those sandwiches. Yes.
Squirtle Squad's coming in.
Oh, hell yeah. But my man, Squirtle Squad. Squirtle Squad.
All of them. Gangbangers, yeah.
It's going to be soaked. just water gun your whole table. You'll be eating some soggy food.
Yeah.
And the shades and everything. Love it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Squirtle Squad is the best squad.
Do you think a Squirtle can carbonate a drink?
I think it's possible.
You like hand a Squirtle to like, yo, you know, bubbly this?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Get some bottle service going.
It just depends on how talented the Squirtle is.
Whoa.
Not going there. Nope. Next question.
Time to move on.
Yikes. Move on. All
right. TPR asks, what's more likely? Nintendo fixes Switch online connectivity qualities to servers, or Game Freak makes a new Pokemon game that has a stable 60 frames per second?
Ooh. I say neither. Neither is likely to happen. Yeah, that's kind of raising the bar a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really tough one. I think I'll go with Game Freak.
I think I'm going to go with Game Freak too.
Yeah, Game Freak. I was going to say, if I had to pick one, it's Game Freak for sure.
Because like the hope is eventually, if you just keep getting better hardware, eventually that'll take care of the problem. Like if you just throw enough of it at, you can get the frame rate high enough, right?
Yeah, that's where the Switch 2 comes in.
I don't ever expect Nintendo. I'm sure that they probably tell us that they own their own servers, but I would imagine that they probably farm that out. They probably rent servers from other people.
Probably, I would think so too.
So I don't think that's all that of a priority for them. They're like, does it work? It works. Figure it out.
Good enough.
Moving on.
All right. Gamer Guy Lou asks, just because Kyle's joining the show, he's a fellow Pokemon fan. Who is your favorite Pokemon of all time and why?
Oh, we have a theme.
I know Delvin's is Detective Pikachu.
Goddamn right. That is the answer. Pikachu is the GOAT.
But the not just still, Pikachu, the detective, still the specific Delvin, Pikachu.
I love all the Pikachus. Detective Pikachu, the one from the show.
Them to dinner.
Yeah. No, because they'll be trouble. They'll like shock up shit and fuck up everything in my house.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah. All my games won't work anymore because they don't electric shock everything.
So basic, Delvin. You went with the logo.
Yeah.
Goddamn. Yeah,
you're like Pikachu.
Here's a hot take. If Pikachu wasn't the mascot of Pokemon, I would say Eevee would be a very good second choice.
You shut your whore mouth.
I am not, okay? That Jigglypuff. Is the truth, and you know it.
There you go. That's the answer, Donnie. Jigglypuff. There you go.
Jigglypuff. Okay. I mean, that's fair, too. That's fair. Hey, what's the matter? You don't like Eevee?
It was kind cool. It's just not mascot worthy.
Oh, no. It was more of Delvin, but yeah.
No, I like Eevee. Eevee is my daughter's favorite Pokemon.
Oh, nice.
Love it.
Not mascot worthy.
Nah.
Okay, so.
Kind of have character, personality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that.
Eevee has none of that.
No. Nah.
So, my favorite Pokemon. Okay, I mean, my list kind of jumps around all it's over the list. Place here. But,
it's one.
Just one, Kyle.
I know. That's what I'm fearing. Just one. Yeah, but my favorite Pokemon is the legendary Suicune. Yeah, I sound kind of based for saying it, but you know,
not when as based I saw as saying Suicune, Pikachu.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Pikachu's the goat.
When I saw Suicune for the first time playing Pokemon Crystal, I'm like, what is this legendary Pokemon? It looks so cool. So, yeah. And when I was playing Pokemon Gold at the time, I caught it with a
basketball. I have the opposite reaction every time I see a legendary Pokemon. I'm like, this stupid looking.
Yeah. So yeah, we're kind of like on the opposite.
I'm like everybody's favorite person to trade with. I trade all of my new starters. I trade all of my new gen folks. I don't want the legendaries. I don't care who's at the end of the game. I'm like, if you guys don't get out of the way and give me my base five, I'm gonna get my original team back, the OGs.
Yeah, give me my Marowak and like Cubone.
A Pokemon grandpa at this time. Yes. You know, it's just like I have all these cards over here. And you'd think it, I have like these cool Pokemon cards of all these legend. No, I have first edition Cubones and Marowaks, a Snorlax, a Poliwrath, an Arcanine. Like all these things people take for granted.
Yes, give me the OG ones.
Yeah, these base fools, man. I'm like, y'all can.
Yeah, keep I was gonna say because you are the Cubone guy. Nobody's ever gonna take that away from you.
Yeah, no, that's my answer for sure. My answer is Cubone. For those of anybody, I mean, the answer I think is pretty simple. When I was young and was into Pokemon as a child, Pokemon is the orphan Pokemon. And I definitely connected to that with my upbringing and all that. So I latched on to Cubone then. And I also think Cubone is adorable and cute and funny. And he's like a crybaby and it's hilarious. And he's got like,
oh yeah,
he's got like his whole goth story and he hangs out with ghosts and shit. Like there's a lot there to like.
Yeah, the Lavender Town story.
Yeah, so I latched on to Cubone as like my first Pokemon. I remember like, I think I traded like a damn holofoil Hitmonchan for my first Cubone card. Like I didn't matter. Like I treated the card the same way I treat the game. Like I don't care what they're worth or how cool they are. I want my dudes and that's all that matters. And yeah, Hitmonchan
was pretty much expendable.
Always like, get out starts of here. With Cubone. If I could, and I've always wanted to, I wish that they would just let you start with whoever you want.
That's a good idea.
I would pay for that. Like, here's your three, or you can give us $5, and I'd be like, here's $5. Like, it'd be so easy for me. Like, here's an extra $5, Pokemon. Let me pick my own starter. Because, yeah, I just normally don't care. I'm just kind of set in my ways that way.
Yeah, see, like, I like Cubone, but I like Alolan Marowak more than I do regular Marowak. It might be just me.
I like both. Marowak was cool with the flames and stuff. You know, there was an episode in the first season of Pokemon where like Cubone, Ash squares off with a Cubone at the university. And I think that also went a long way for me. That Cubone was absolutely hilarious. There's like a girl at the school and she has the Cubone and like Pokemon and Cubone square off.
At some point,
Pikachu tries to like, I don't know, confuse it or something by making a funny face. Right, so like he pulls his cheeks and he does like the stone face, and he's all up in Cubone's face doing this, and Cubone literally just takes his bat and hits him in the head, and I was like, "This is my dude."
Like, I was gonna say this is kind of like Three Stooges, like, but
yeah, like he's just like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Just smack.
It's like a slapstick.
It's just my approach to all video games. You know, they're like, you know, devs out here. He's like, "I'm a dual wielding hunter and I'm the super sniper." I'm like, no, dude, we're drop kicking people in the face. Like, okay, this is how we do it. So, yeah, I like Cubone. He's my dude.
There you go. Good answer.
Great answer. Our next question is from Jay Allen, who sounds like a Flash character. Love it. Sony makes Spider-Man and Microsoft is making an Indiana Jones game. What movie franchise should Nintendo make a game for?
Mario.
There you have it.
Just easy, just like that. But I will say that a little off topic, but the Indiana Jones game, I've seen the trailer for that. Oh my god, it actually looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, like, they better get it right. That's the one.
Yeah, I was gonna say I have high hopes for that game.
you know what? I'll give a different answer to help out. I'll say Alien.
You want Nintendo to make an Alien license game?
Yes.
Why?
You know why?
Who? Oh, who's making it?
The people who make Metroid make an Alien game.
No, just make Metroid. The people, even Retro Studios.
I was gonna say that's basically Metroid.
Exactly. It'll be easy to make. Just reskin this Metroid game as Aliens. There you go.
What if it's Metroid meets Alien? What's the Metroid Samus versus Alien the game?
I like it. See, there you go.
What if he just fights the Xenomorphs?
Yeah, there you go.
I'll probably piggyback off Donnie, and I'll probably say Mario too, because I mean,
I was so, joking, but I mean, so legit.
Mario does make sense though.
I would prefer them to make another Mario game versus any movie game they could make. Like, if we're like, yeah, I'd rather do that. Now, in actuality, all right, let's hear. Well, what's a good? It's got to be cartoon related, right? It's got to be like cutesy cartoon. It's got to be animated. Nintendo doesn't really make non-animated games. You know, they don't make realistic visuals. Now, that doesn't mean it's got to be realistic, but like, you'd have to tone that down, and it's got to be family friendly. So I immediately go to like animation. I will say, what's the coolest superhero that's animated? Do you like a Batman the animation?
I was going to say Batman, yeah. But there's like a bunch of those out there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Spider-Man.
Spider-Verse
would be cool. Miles.
Spider-Verse, but Nintendo, Sony already has the lockdown on Spider-Man.
Sony's you know not going to let that go.
Gwen Stacy. There you go. Who's Spider-Gwen?
Okay.
That could work.
I thought they had a good one. They made their Avengers game. Like, it's good for them to kind of stay there. You know, they could do something like that. They licensed, like, the Marvel superheroes. I like the battle arena thing for them. X-Men. Like, they could make, like, a cartoon X-Men brawler or something like that.
That'd be cool.
Smoking Joe in chat says a Minions game would be cool for the kids.
It's just rabbits.
Fuck the kids.
Like, that's just the rabbits, right? Trying to think.
I'm kind of stumped with this one, to be honest. But
I'm sure there's Mario was just the only thing I first thought of. I'm not thinking of. That would be a really great fit. But like, again, who's making it and what kind of game it is? I don't know. I am not as into the licensed IP rush that seems to be going on as my counterpart here, for sure. So I'm perfectly fine with Nintendo staying out of this race. Like, Nintendo, keep doing what you're doing.
That's totally fair.
I don't need them to license a movie character to be relevant. They're good.
You know what? Give Nintendo Pixar. Just all of Pixar. You just make Pixar games for
them. Is that like the Toy Story folks?
Toy Story, Inside Out. They got so many. Monsters, Inc. Take all those.
Yeah, Toy Story sounds dope. I think they could totally do something.
I remember playing the Toy Story game for my old Game Boy way back.
I forget about Toy Story sometimes.
Because I remember that was a platformer too.
I think it was, 2 years ago? 2-3 years ago, the last Toy Story movie?
Wow. Wow, I'm way out of it. It feels like it was like 10 years ago. I don't know.
I felt like it should have ended on 3, but they kind of took it like one.
Like,
it did.
Way too far.
They did. Then they were like, we're going to John Wick the shit out of this. No, we're just kidding. 3 is not the last one.
Exactly. Oh, they literally did.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, you know what? I'm going to change my answer. I want Nintendo to make a Jurassic Park game.
Oh, that's a good one.
That would be awesome.
We get a good Jurassic Park game, finally.
It's given me the Jurassic Park Game Boy vibes when I had that for the Game Boy way back in the day. Like a modern Jurassic Park game, I would be down.
They could license a Jurassic Park game, and I'm sure they'll find a way to make it awesome.
I'm down. I agree, 100%.
All right, I'm going to read this next question straight up from the chat. Just ask, did you guys ever purchase old magazines that you had through the marketplace, any marketplace? She used to buy the EGM from December 2001. So did you guys ever buy the magazines?
I had Game Informer for years when I was a GameStop subscriber. I would pick up magazines when I could afford them. I had, like, especially if they had the demo discs and stuff, like, if I could get something out of them. I've got, I don't know, a stack of Nintendo Power magazines. Sean gave me some. I've bought some from my shelves and my cubbies. Crazy thing, though, about this question is I've oddly gotten into magazines. It's something Sean and I have talked about on Sweet Hangs this year. I've gotten into magazines like this year. I've bought a bunch of car magazines and a bunch of old game magazines and retro magazines. I have like a whole stack over in my
magazines
on my thing, and I just kind of sit back and read from time to time. So
I was
the nostalgia is big there, I think.
Yeah, very big. I was a big Game Pro fan. I used to buy all the Game Pros. I used to buy a lot of Nintendo Powers. Game Informer, when Game Informer was in his prime, when he was like, hey, here's a Game Informer. You just go to GameStop, they just give you one.
Yeah.
Those were the ones I used to like be heavy into.
Yeah, my most
they tried to get me to re-up my membership when I was there, and it would only offer me a digital option.
Yeah, they won't give you the physical anymore.
And they're like, you can buy it in store. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Like, fuck you.
I could buy it without the membership. What are you talking about? Yeah. If I wanted to come buy the magazine, I could do that anytime. What? What a wild thing to say. And they're like, and we raised the price. It's like, yeah, this is why you're going out of business. This is why nobody likes you.
Yeah. I haven't been to a GameStop since, like, 2013. So yeah, I usually just don't even care about GameStop anymore. But I think my last subscription was Game Informer, like you said, Donnie. I kept getting those like every month because I was a yearly subscriber.
Yeah, because it was like $5 a year. It was so easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now back when it was relevant, now it's not anymore. It's just like, yeah, go to hell.
Yeah. I wonder. The next time somebody has a chance to talk to like Doug Bowser or not Phil, because Xbox is really super digital, there is something to be said. I wonder what Nintendo's thinking about like the current trending of physical in like stores starting to like lower space. I feel like Nintendo would be the last hold. That like they may get rid of Walmart, may get rid of every game section except the Nintendo one, like Target, right? But yeah, like I bet that's affecting them more than others. Now people are still buying digital on Nintendo as well, so I'm sure their digital sales are going up, but they still seem to have a significant physical presence that the other consoles don't. And I'd love to know like a business level, because if you're thinking about the like in product of the masses, I'd love to know like how they're thinking about that. Like, I wonder if they're thinking of like printing less games or having less partners, less store. Like, could you ever see where like Nintendo games are in stock, but like only at Target or something? Like, I could
see that.
Yeah, I could see something like that happening.
Walmart, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird future we're heading into, man. Like, it's a weird next like few years. Like
2024. Yep.
Yeah.
We're gaming just getting started. It's already weird.
Yeah. Gaming is going to, I think gaming is going to look very different 5 years from now than it does today.
I agree.
Nintendo and VR.
Yeah, maybe. Never know.
All right. I'll take Jess's next question. She asks, will Power World ever come to Switch?
Maybe. Probably. Yeah.
I mean, if it runs well, then I could
see. If it doesn't run well, like, think about it. look, obviously, if Nintendo litigates them, then no, right? That's an easy answer. But if Nintendo doesn't litigate them, think about what it's done on PC, apply that to the 100 million plus Switch owners, and then look at Nintendo taking 30% of that. Do I think it'll come to Switch? Yeah, maybe, probably. Yeah, if they can, sure. It's got to be. And the game is only like 6 gigs. It's a super light game. That's why it has like that mobile-y look and feel, because there's not a lot there. So yeah, they probably will optimize it and try to bring it to Switch. And it's not like there's some Nintendo czar denying Switch games. If you logged into the eShop, there's all kinds of shit in that damn store.
Random shit.
Like all kinds of. There's that Last of Us clone that they tried to battle. There's no, I remember seeing a headline like around the new year that Switch had like the most games published to it like in a year, and it was like 2,000 more games than PlayStation.
Yes.
Because like every mobile dev is putting their game on Switch. It's just anything you could want is being added to the Switch store. So I could totally see Power World coming. It could be massive. Could be huge. Sell 50 million copies and make Nintendo millions of dollars. It's possible.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. All right. Our next question will be from Jason. And this is for Donnie. He said, Donnie, do you think NCAA will come to Switch this year?
No.
I'd be surprised if NCAA comes to anywhere this year.
No, I think it's coming. I'd
be shocked if it does.
I think it's coming. It's coming out this year. I've got a lot of things to say about that, but I think it's coming. Well, I don't think anybody in Switchland cares. I think it's coming out this year. I don't think it's coming to Switch. I do think it could potentially come to Switch too.
Okay.
Because I think EA wants to do more with Switch too. I think they've been on record as saying that they kind of missed the boat on the Switch. And they're like late to the party. And I think we're seeing like the rise. There's a lot of people that are like buying Allies and Steam Decks because they want to play Madden. Like that's a thing. And not like million, but like probably like maybe like 500,000, like a million people, because there is no portable Madden. You know, like there's like Madden Mobile. I think Switch could be a conduit for that, and they could have like a lucrative business over there. Yeah. NCAA has historically had a really small marketing cycle. So I know a lot of people are like scared because they haven't seen it yet. Like that's not uncommon. I think they'll like release a trailer in like April and they'll do like a game breakdown in like May or June. And then like game will come out in like July. And I think it'll be pretty bare bones. The interesting thing about it. And again, I don't want to turn this into like a crazy long NCAA thing because I know nobody in Shaq Lane cares. To surmise a point, college football is in a really, really weird place right now with like rules and regulations. I'm interested to see how EA tackles that with their game. I assume that they want their game to reflect that. And that's a wild, that could be a really crazy thing for this first game, because like the presidents in the NCAA are about to release a bunch of new laws to like change a lot of things, I think in like 2-3 years from now. So like this first game could be wildly different from like the second or the third or the fourth game.
Yes.
And this first game might be like the one that you want. Like you might want to collect it because it might be like a snapshot in time of like college football in its wildest wild west days, you know, before they kind of clean it all back up. And I'm that's kind of like the story that I'm like really paying attention to with NCAA and like where it goes. Like, is it going to have like the transfer portal? Can you just bid on other teams' players? Can you like contact somebody's quarterback? We'll give you $1 million to switch teams. That might be in this game. That's not in like future games. Like that sounds kind of nuts. So,
very interesting time to say the least.
Yeah, college football is a very interesting time.
Yeah.
All right. Our next question is from G-Man. He said, "All right, so how are you all feeling about Nintendo for the next few weeks? I know another code recollection just dropped, but will a direct still happen at the beginning of February?"
Hold the direct thing, because I took some time, G-Man, and I looked some up. So here's what you can look forward to in February. And if you don't know these, you can look them up and see if they're for you. One, we've got the Tomb Raider collection. It's coming out. You get Tomb Raider 1 through 3. It's got classic modes and new modern control schemes. I'm definitely getting that. I'm still undecided to get that on PC or Switch. I want it on Switch, but like I want a cartridge. I want the box. And I think it's digital only. Whoa. And that might make me buy it on PC. There's also Mario vs. Donkey Kong, which I'm stoked for. I'm maybe the only one, but I'm stoked for it.
To the T.
Yeah, it looks so good. Plate Up, if you're looking for like that multiplayer chaos thing that comes out next month. There's a really cool game called Slave Zero X.
That game looks cool.
Yeah, and it's kind of like
I have never heard of that, actually.
It's like a hack and slash, like a beat 'em up, but it's think of like a Marvel versus Capcom like 90s aesthetic.
Yes.
And it's like very technology, you know, like that Sega technology kind of look, and you're just like you're just beating up shit, like kind of having like this like, I don't know, like kind of like mech battles.
I can see that being a thing.
It's pretty cool.
It's very 90s arcade.
It's like a prequel to Slave Zero. It's like an old shooter from back in the day. It's like a prequel to this.
Okay.
Open Roads. It's like an emotional adventure game. That's been marketed several times. I think PlayStation had to deal with that one. And then Star Wars Dark Forces Remastered.
Which I'm excited for.
I'm probably going to get to. Just because I'm hesitant because of the last Star Wars shooter game that I got. But that was Aspyr. And I don't think Aspyr is like super great. This is Night Dive. And I love everything Night Dive does. So I kind of want to get it too and give him a chance. It also looks like, I mean, like this has got Vader in it and stuff.
Yeah, this looks fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, so like, okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to get that too.
Hopefully it's good. I remember it came out on PS1. I remember thinking it would look cool, but I never tried it. So this is...
Yeah, I never tried it either, but it does look very promising.
I've been into, you know, like these old school shooters for like, what, like 2 or 3 years now? Yeah. You know, I keep playing all these boomer shooters and stuff. I was like, so yeah, like, let's do it. It's kind of like, I don't know it. I don't know anything about the game, but I mean, at first glance, it's like Duke Nukem, but Star Wars.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So, in a way. Yeah,
that sounds fun. Sure. I'm not the biggest Star Wars guy, but I can get down for that. Huh.
our next question. Hang on.
We didn't talk about the direct. You asked about the direct.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get a direct in February.
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say, probably like if I had to take an estimated or educated guess, it would probably be, I would say like maybe like somewhere like kind of early-ish February, but maybe like near like in the teens, like maybe like the 11th or 12th or something. Or maybe because usually they have it on a Thursday.
I don't know when, but I imagine it'll be somewhat soon.
Yeah.
Sooner rather than later. They've got to get dates out on games. And then like once February rolls through, like they don't have another chance. I think they want to give, I always bring this up. I think it's proven to be well for me. Usually when they have a game that's not really on the tip of people's tongues, they like to give it like a little mini, like a, they give it a little rub before it comes out, you know? So like I would expect the direct to come out before Mario versus Donkey Kong. So they can present to everybody that Mario versus like remind everybody that it's still coming out.
Yeah.
You know, just give it that little
marketing rub. Their track record is pretty spot on when it comes to February directs.
So yeah, that's true too. So I think they'll give Mario versus Donkey Kong the rub. I think they'll date Thousand Year Door because I think Thousand Year Door is coming up before Luigi. I mean, I guess they'll probably announce a new game or two. I don't know what else those could be. I mean, I've got guesses, but it really all depends on what they're doing with the next console. Right? If they're going to talk about the next console in the next direct, like they could do that. If they're going to hold that for the summer, they could do that. Like, it, I don't know. Like, they can't announce too many games, like, yeah. Right? Because then you, like, yeah. So I don't know. It really all depends there. On the game front, I mean, I would love those Zelda remasters for sure. That's an easy one. I think those could be easy summer games that hold you over. I think there's a Fire Emblem game like out there. Probably hold it for the new system so they can market a new system around Fire Emblem. I could see that. But they've also like Fire Emblem's weird that they've literally launched Fire Emblem in November, in January, in April, in July. Like they literally just put Fire Emblem games wherever they feel like you need them. They
jump around like crazy with them.
They really do. So like, if March 1st, we're living in a world where like a new Fire Emblem game is coming out July, sure. Like I could see it. So yeah, but I definitely think we're going to have a direct, and that's kind of what I'm thinking. I think we'll get a Thousand Year Door date, probably April or May. And then I'm thinking, you know, another game or two announced for the summer. And that gets them to June when they start the Switch 2 push.
Mm-hmm. I got the Nintendo Switch vouchers for Christmas. So if those Zelda remasters ever do come to the Switch, I'm going to be ready and waiting.
I'm sitting on vouchers too. I'm literally holding vouchers. Like I'm reserving one for Thousand Year Door and I'm reserving one for something else. I'm just going to buy Mario vs. Donkey Kong. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, but yeah, Thousand Year Door is gonna be like the first one I use my voucher on too. So yeah, I'm right with you.
I don't think I'm gonna use my voucher on Peach. I don't know if I'm gonna be day one on Peach. Like I want to be, but like I also am not really sure if that's gonna be good or not.
I would wait for a discount.
That's one that like reviews might sway me on. You know, because I'm kind of on the fence. If people are like it's fun, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's kind of mid, if it's like Strikers or like one of their sport, I'm. Knock on.
Oh, don't even get me started on Strikers. Oh my god,
I kind of like it.
Wait, biggest I've waste been of playing
it. I kind of like it, but I didn't pay $60
cool.
for it.
It's cool.
I bought it from Rebecca for like $20. So like, for $20, I'm like, this is fun. It's kind of cool. I would probably
be. That's what I should have done. To be honest,
I would agree with you though. If I paid $60 for it, I'd be like, this is not that great.
Yeah, it literally isn't. Yeah, don't go. Don't do what I did.
But yeah, I kind of like it. It's just, there's just not a whole lot there beyond the, like just the exhibition mode, right? Like it just kind of is that. It's like, here's the soccer game. If you're wanting anything more than that, you'd be let down.
Yeah.
But the actual playing the game, I think is good. Like it's fun. I enjoy doing all the special power-ups and all the slides and all. I think it's fun. Fun sports game.
Great. Yeah.
Smoking Joe asks, Shaq question, what is your dream one more thing at the next Nintendo Direct?
I want those Zelda remasters. I know it's a
easy
guess
and
a dumb guess and an expected guess, but it is the answer. Like I want those Zelda remasters, damn it.
Yeah, the Zelda remasters are pretty much like the most common answer you can probably think
just come
of.
On already.
I can't really think of anything else, to be honest.
Super Mario 3 remake. Hey, we're making a remaking Super Mario 3.
Well, you have a real dream.
I was gonna say you're kind of stretching it there, but
yeah, I'm dreaming
would
big.
You make it.
That's the question. I don't know. I kind of want to say maybe just give it like a new look. Some very same game, maybe reimagined. Very similar.
So I always hoped that they would do something like that with Mario Maker. So when Mario Maker 2 came out, I had this idea where you could, because you know in Mario Maker you can like swap palettes.
Yes.
My idea was that like they would make like Mario like Super Mario 3, Super Mario World, and you could open those games and just play the games like with new updated, you know, textures, but then you could also swap the textures. And you could be like, I'm playing Mario 3, but it's new Super Mario Bros, or it's Mario U, or it's Mario, you know, like, yeah, Super Mario 1. I always thought that would be like a neat idea of like bringing the old with the past and like letting you kind of mess with the games you already know, like the back, you know, like you could go in there and edit your own levels in like Super Mario World, you know, like they never really did that.
Yeah,
I'm kind of sad that Mario Maker 2 is not updating anymore.
And fans did.
Imagine, like, the possibilities that they could do. Fans
did. If you get in Mario Maker 2, there are people that made, like, level 1-1 and level 1-2 of these other games. And you can swap them and all that. But, like, you know, like, I wanted Nintendo to do the full treatment to it. Yeah.
Yeah, because somebody said in chat, Wonder Levels DLC, if they were still updating. That would have been, like, a very good update /DLC.
I'm still kind of playing Mario Wonder. Every now and again, I need to get that because I've seen everybody play it.
I was thinking about using my vouchers on Mario Wonder, but I'm kind of waiting it. Yeah,
it's never going to go on sale.
Yeah,
I know it won't.
It's great. I guarantee you. I may eat this one. I don't think you can use your voucher on anything coming out this year that's better than Super Mario Wonder.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's no Zelda remaster, there's no Zelda I'll probably spend it on Mario Wonder then, more than likely.
Do you not have a Wii U, or do you not have access to the
Zelda? No, I didn't. I never owned a Wii U.
Oh, so that's a whole different story then. Never mind.
My last Nintendo console before I owned a Switch was the Nintendo 64, and that's a long time ago.
Wind Waker HD is gorgeous. I mean, it's
beautiful. Oh no, I've seen gameplay. It is.
That is my Zelda happy place. I mean, I love that game.
Yeah,
and I have it on my Ally, sure. And I can play it on my Ally, and I have, but it's, you know, it's emulated. It's not quite as good, and also the Ally, the battery life isn't great. It's like, it's not what I want it to be. Like, that's not how I want to play the game. You know, I want official support, optimized Nintendo experience. So I'm still waiting. But yeah, save your voucher.
The wait will be worth it.
But if it doesn't come, use it on Mario Wonder, because it's incredible.
Yeah, that's my plan B.
Very good.
All right. Our next question, I'm going to go to this one from Nick. He asks, did you guys see Nintendo will stop printing a lot of Switch games soon? Do you think we're getting a Nintendo Switch Select? A Nintendo Selects lineup soon. So there you go.
No.
I didn't see this.
I don't think
Selects... I didn't see this either, but I would... Yeah.
I don't think Selects are going to be a thing anymore. I think if they were going to do Selects, I think they would have done it by now. I think they would have done them long by now. That would have been a perfect thing to do, like, during COVID for some of those early Switch games, like Splatoon 2 and ARMS and stuff. They never did it. So I don't think they're going to do it now. If they are going out of print, I don't know if they are, but if they are going out of print, I think it's probably to clear up stock and be ready to either reissue them for the next system or make way for the next system. Probably.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing. All right. These final two questions, I picked them for a reason. You can kind of connect the dots with them. The first one from the Dead Man.
Undertaker.
Now you're picking up the theme.
Prince
of Persia stepping into Metroidvania territory, what other franchise would you like to see to go in that direction? So
I have answers.
Okay.
I prepared for this one. All right. So I've got three answers. So I hope I'm not taking picks away from you.
Okay.
My true answer, like my Donnie answer, is Darksiders.
Okay, that's a good one.
Darksiders 3 is kind of like a 3D Metroidvania, but I didn't really like Darksiders 3, and I also don't want it to be 3D. I like the Darksiders franchise. It's always been a 3D franchise. I like Darksiders 2 the most. It's like a Zelda game. I would love to see Darksiders come back, because like they did Genesis, and it was like kind of like a Diablo wannabe. I would love to see 2D side-scrolling Darksiders Metroidvania game. That sounds dope. Okay. Super fun with one of the horsemen and stuff. Super gothic, and oh, that sounds great. Okay. The other answer I wrote down, which I don't think is going to be all that surprising, I think a lot of people have been wanting a Zelda. I think you could absolutely do a 2D Zelda Metroidvania game, even if you went like top down. I think it'd be a really neat way of kind of reintroducing, you know, a 2D Zelda game in a different way. Because you still do dungeons and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say kind of like Zelda 2 a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
That was my answer, by the way.
I was going to okay. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Delvin and I had like the same one. Brain cell there. But
in my thinking, I came up with another one. This one's a little out there, but I actually think this one could be excellent when you think about it. When okay. you think about it from a platforming and traversal aspect more than a combat. So when I think Metroidvania, I think platforming. Puzzles, okay. platforming, all of that jazz. I know you need a character that can do cool, you know, action stuff too, but like I really think traversal and platforming, and I went Donkey Kong.
Oh, thank God. I thought you'd take my other answer.
Donkey Kong could be an excellent...
I was going to say Donkey Kong
Metroidvania. Yeah. Especially if you could like throw people to like hit switches and stuff. Like it could, there's a world where I think of like Donkey Kong Country as a Metroidvania, and it's excellent.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I can Donkey see Kong it in my country, mind.
Donkey Kong Land.
Yeah. Like I'm like, oh, this is actually really good. You get like some barrels and stuff. Like this could be a lot of fun. And I really like that idea because it's out of the box. In a cool way. So that was
very original too.
Yeah, those are my thoughts.
I have a off the wall one, but follow me for a minute. Splatoon. A single player Splatoon game.
I thought of that. Now here's why I didn't put it on the list, and I want you to respond to this. Because I thought of that and here's what I thought. Are there any, and obviously I know Samus exists, but like it's different. Good Metroidvanias that are like primarily shooters.
There's a couple of them. There's what's the like
Xbox Samus can shoot, but like I don't think of Metroid as a shooter. Like Splatoon, you just shoot.
I think you could do something with the paint, the different colors.
That's what I was thinking too. Like
to open up more areas.
There's a platforming aspect to that that is neat if you think about it in that way. But I just don't know. It feels like every time I think of Splatoon platforming game, I want it to be like 3D Mario, but Splatoon. That's what I think. That's where I go with Splatoon. I just don't think Metroid or 2D. Are you thinking of like maybe a 3D Metroidvania?
Yeah, more like a 3D Metroidvania.
3D makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Metroid Prime a little bit.
Yeah. No, that I could get behind. I was specific. I think I prefer 2D Metroidvanias. And yeah, in my mind, all of the ones I'm thinking about are all 2D. So that's why I paused on Splatoon, but that did come to mind. I gave that some thought too.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go the opposite. I'm more of a 3D Metroidvania than I am too, but I have no problem with a 2D whatsoever. I just like Metroid Prime a lot more, but I don't know.
It's
just
I like Metroid Prime. I like the Castlevania ones too. Those are great. The 3D Castlevania games are a blast.
All right. Our final question is from Yarden. He says, I've heard you guys talk a lot about how mint wrestling games have been for a while. So build the perfect wrestling game, preferred gameplay modes, cover athlete, etc.
Yeah, I did it. It's called No Mercy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. See, you We've are. You... We don't need to. create your own superstar. You can go to story mode.
It's interesting that we haven't.
It's arcade-y on top of it.
It's interesting that we haven't got what we consider to be a really like a better wrestling game since then. And I want to ask, how much do you think it has to do with that controller?
A lot.
I do too. Cause when you emulate those games on a new, on a different controller, it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not as good on like an Xbox pad or a PlayStation controller, it's not as good. It just isn't.
I think AEW did a good job of emulating it.
Like, yeah, you have the same scheme, but like there's something about having your special on that stick and the D-pad and the button. Like, yeah, it works. It really works with the N64 controller.
You know what?
It kind of has some throwback vibes a little bit.
I'm going to say No Mercy's engine. The cover, we're going to go WCW versus the world, ooh, but we're going to do AEW versus WWE.
You want like a Marvel versus Capcom thing?
Yes.
I was going to say, yeah, I was.
So here's hilarious that, because I was going to tell you, here's how you make the best one is you only have WWE in it.
No, I would say no, because you have some people in AEW that I think would be great. Like, and to even things up a little bit more, I would add New Japan on the AEW side. So you get all those athletes too, and I'll add some other people that AEW affiliate with, and I would add on the WWE side, NXT. To kind of make it a little bit more balanced, so you can have your little dream matches like Okada versus Roman Reigns, which we might be getting anyway. You know,
I mean, yeah, I mean, and that's the game's already. All anything that has creative character has all of that in there already.
Yes, and I would take the story mode. I would definitely take the showcase mode from WWE 2K series. The showcase.
I would call it WWE versus AEW War Games.
I like it. And
put like both their logos kind of against each other like that.
Yes.
And then if you think of like the No Mercy World Tour Revenge character select screen, you know, like they had like the stables that you would have flipped through. I would put them in different stables and I would do it by division. So I would have like the AEW stable for like heavyweight, the AEW stable for intercontinental, the AEW stable for tag team. And I would do the exact same thing for WWE.
You know what I really liked that a terrible wrestling game did? I think it was Thunder did it. When you clicked on the character,
and they had their promos.
They would give you a promo of why you should pick them.
Yeah, the that whole F and V videos. Yes. Those were so dumb.
They were so great.
Remember DDP had it's a cigar? So dumb,
it's great.
Yes.
He did the thing is pick the man with the plan. DDP. And he put the cigar and it like would fade. I still remember that. Oh my God. No, you just unlocked a childhood memory.
They were so much great.
I played that terrible video game.
Game was terrible, but
the Thunder sucked. It was so awful. It was so bad. And it was like really dumb fun.
Yes, it was.
I remember doing like the stupid disco dance with Disco Inferno in the ring and stuff. Like you could do like little combos to do taunts, and it was so dumb.
Yes.
Well, the dumber it is, the better, you know, for content. Yeah.
It was definitely like it had more dumb fun than the good ones did, than the good games.
I think you can do a really cool storybook with both of those games too, though. I think you can, like I said, the showcase mode, you can have different people to play with, like in terms of like you can have, all right, here's Cody Rhodes' story, and you can tell the story from him being Stardust.
Like in certain chapters and such.
Yeah, then him being Stardust, him going to AEW, then finishing up at WWE, and then you can have the old Bryan Danielson story.
Like, Cody makes a ton of sense, yeah, because he is both.
Yeah, but then you also have Daniel Bryan.
And you can totally do like the kayfabe thing where you could literally call the mode like finish the story.
Yes.
Yeah. Like literally finish. Instead of waiting for him for like 5 years to take down Roman at WrestleMania, I don't know, 50 or whatever.
I hope he doesn't. I really hope he doesn't. I feel like I'm the only fan in the world. I'm like, let's keep it going.
Oh, people are like, people.
Oh, no.
Let's keep it going. I'm here for it.
Yeah, since I think Roman is not going to be at the Elimination Chamber, or apparently he's not working there, I think they're setting it up to where it's going to be Rock Roman.
He has to have the belt for another year to take Hogan. Yeah,
Roman's going to be Rock if it's going to be.
I'm all about that record. Let's get that record done.
My brother said the same exact thing too. They're going if he wins at WrestleMania and he has the title, he's going to
absolutely.
I will say this: if you're going to do it, Don't do Roman versus Cody again until it's time for Roman to lose the belt.
Right, of course. No, that's true. I think everybody agrees with that.
Like, if you're going to do Roman versus Rock and he keeps the belt, I'm fine with that.
They're not going to do Roman versus Rock where Rock gets the belt. Like, that is not a possibility.
That's dumb.
Well, I just don't think it's possible. The Rock has – he has to run his football company and make movies. Like, he can't be the WWE champion. He can't do that right now. Like, he's forever old. He couldn't even hit a promo the other night. Yes. What are we talking about here? That's not plausible.
And if you think it's bad when you don't only see Roman every 3-4 months, imagine Rock coming back once a year.
I am getting used to the idea of Roman Rock at Mania, and then Roman keeps that belt for another year, breaks the record, and drops it to Cody at Mania.
That could work.
He can either drop it to Cody or Jay.
That could work.
Jay Uso's an interesting one, but I like where you're going with that.
You elevate somebody else.
Yes.
I think,
you know, you're not elevating Cody by giving the belt. You can elevate Jay by giving him the belt.
Yeah, Cody just go put somebody.
It completes the bloodline story.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're gonna go to next year WrestleMania with Roman holding the belt, I would do Solo.
Yeah, or Solo. That works too.
I would do Solo.
I pitched in the Discord, and I mean, we don't know, but I feel pretty good about if they've got Rock, like we think they do, still not to be confirmed, but if they do, like we think they do, what I think happens is I think Rock begins the destruction of the bloodline. It starts there.
That's what I was thinking too. So like Solo's going to have second thoughts.
Yeah. So like they're going to jump the ring and like they're not going to be able to turn on Rock. They can't.
Yes.
And that's going to seed doubt in Roman. And then Roman starts to fight all of his cousins throughout the year until he walks into Mania alone. No Heyman, no Uso, no Solo. So you think
Heyman's going to turn on him at some point?
Yeah, 100% Heyman turns, and it's just him, Roman versus Cody. And Cody.
I'm down for that.
That's how I see that story going on for a year.
T, I'm on every podcast. Not a podcast I'm not on.
Are you doing XP today too?
Yes, I am. Awesome. 8 o'clock tonight.
You are a busy, busy man.
Yes.
MVP.
Yeah. Well, I think that might be it for us. I think we
did the damn thing. Look at that, hour and a half. We got 90 minutes out of debt relief, and Power World rumors. So fun show. We made it. We did it, guys.
Yay.
Congratulations. Everybody play the Cub. If you're looking for a cheap game, remember it's on sale, $7.50. Go give it a try. And we'll see you next week when Rebecca makes her return to the show.
Probably
to tell us about MAGFest, and maybe I'll have beaten Persia by then. And then I don't know, man. Just hang with us until Mario versus Donkey Kong comes out.
There you go.
There's just not a whole lot else going on right now until that happens. So
your backlog's gonna extend just by a little bit.
Yeah. And you know, there's something to be said about that too. There are a couple games that I haven't got to on Switch that I might be trying to find a way to work in here soon. Like I still haven't played that Bayonetta spinoff. I want to.
Well, there you go. That's good.
You know, now's a good time to do it. When I finish Persia, if there's still nothing out in Switchland, I may try to cop a copy of that for cheap.
Okay.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, good times. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. And Shackers, thanks for listening to us. We'll catch you next week. Good night.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening. And I forgot the line already. What?